I want to go back to one more thing Nigel Douglas mentioned in his wonderful essay about the Merry Widow. These roles of Hannah and Danilo are often sung by divas and divos in, shall we say, the afternoon, if not the twilight, of their careers. Hannah has been sung by everyone from Joan Sutherland to Edie Adams. The very popular Polish tenor Jan Kipura was touring as Danilo all over the world in the 1950s after his serious operatic career had ended. And the singer-actor who was probably the most celebrated Danilo of them all, the Dutchman Johannes Heesters, starred in 1970 in a new production of The Merry Widow at the Vienna Volksoper when he was 67 years old. But Nigel Douglas emphasizes that the characters in the libretto by Leon and Stein were actually intended to be young people. When Hannah and Danilo had their original parting of the ways, that was only 4 months before The Merry Widow begins. And that's why they're still so sensitive in encountering each other again. Douglas says, if they're both well into middle age, we could surely be forgiven for expecting their behavior to be a trifle more mature. Can Danilo really have been indulging for a quarter of a century in his nightly carousals with the young ladies of Maxim's? Speaking of Maxim's, for Act Three, that's exactly what Hannah's mansion has been transformed to resemble. When Danilo arrives, he's completely stunned. The diplomatic wives of the Pontevedrian embassy, headed by Valenciennes, are dolled up to resemble the girls from Maxim's. They captivate Danilo with a music hall-style number, identifying themselves as the Grisettes of Paris, indicating, "You'll find us on the boulevard." FYI, the most famous operatic grisette is probably Musetta in La Bohème. Grisette is a word going back to the late 17th century that simply refers to a young working-class French woman. So here they all are, Lolo, Dodo, Juju, Frou-Frou, Clo-Clo, Margot, and then you'll hear Valenciennes add, "Et moi!" This number ends in an all-out, exceedingly vigorous can-can. Cable is delivered to Zeta and Danilo, letting them know that unless Hannah's millions are guaranteed for Pontevedro, the nation will go bankrupt. Zeta insists that Danilo respond to his own feelings of patriotism by speaking with Hannah and forcing her to reconsider her marriage to Camille. Danilo is willing to see what Hannah's thoughts are at this moment, although, rake that he is, he declares that if the marriage does take place, he'll renounce the world completely by taking himself to a convent. When Danilo confronts Hannah, he declares that both he and her country absolutely forbid her to marry Camille, calmly telling him that she never intended to do so. She then explains that the tryst in the pavilion was between Camille and a married woman. Hannah simply took her place in order to save the reputation of the lady in question. Danilo at last admits that he loves Hannah. Lehar now brings every bit of magic at his command to music that is ravishing in itself, but the words of Leon and Stein are too. It's been translated all sorts of different ways, but in the original German, Danilo begins by telling Hannah to listen to the violins that are whispering, "Love me." He feels her love with every touch of her hand. Then she responds that with every step of the waltz, her heart is dancing too, before they join for the final phrases of the main theme of the waltz. This number, the so-called Merry Widow Waltz, competes with Vilja as the most beloved melody of the many in this operetta. Like Vilja, it's a melody that stays in your mind, the melody you're most likely to be humming when you leave the theater. Let's listen from that beautiful section sung by Hannah alone to the end of the waltz. Having heard what really happened in the pavilion, Seta informs Valenciennes that Hannah won't be marrying Camille after all. Valenciennes breathes a sigh of relief. Seta is still wondering whose place it was that Hannah took in the pavilion, but then Yegush appears holding Valenciennes' fan that was found there. When he looks at the fan, Seta sees the words, "I love you." Furious, he tells Valenciennes he intends to divorce her. Declaring himself unattached, Zeta now turns to Hannah and offers himself to her as bridegroom. Hannah bursts his bubble by explaining the terms of her late husband's will. Should she choose to marry again, she'll lose her fortune. In the presence of Zeta and everyone else, Danilo cries to Hannah, "I love you!" With great delight, Hannah then informs Zeta that the will further states that her wealth upon remarriage will be transferred to her husband. For Zeta, there remains the mystery of the fan, but Valenciennes points out that on it she had written the words, "I'm a respectable wife." So a happy ending is assured for all. Of course, the appeal of The Merry Widow has a lot to do with the sheer sparkle of the score and how grateful it is for singers. There's the glamour element, too. There's that special elegance of the Belle Époque. But there's also something special and genuinely heartwarming in the central couple. In the wonderful give and take between Hannah and Danilo, we see two complex people whose love ultimately breaks down all the barriers between them. In that, The Merry Widow is a work that truly speaks to the heart, although the last words we hear remind us also that no matter how hard men may try, they'll never get the better of women. Was kennt doch an Ziele und Leid, Mann, das Weib. Musical excerpts heard in this commentary are used courtesy of EMI Classics. Thank you for listening.